Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Generation Y ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Apple Podcasts. Listen to a bold new take on George Orwell's classic 1984 on Audible. Starring an epic cast with Andrew Garfield, Cynthia Erivo, and Andrew Scott, and featuring Tom Hardy as Big Brother. Plus, a haunting original score by Matthew Bellamy and Elon Ashkari that takes this thrilling production to the next level. Experience an immersive listening experience like nothing you've heard before. This chilling tale of constant surveillance, thought police, and rebellion is more relevant now than ever. Big Brother is watching and listening. Hear why those who control the past control the future. Listen to George Orwell's 1984 on Audible now. Go to audible.com/bigbrother.
We're brought to you by Audible. Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, or doing your chores. I usually listen to Audible when I'm on a plane because it's the best way to keep my mind off the boredom and claustrophobia being in a plane. I'm currently listening to The Long Walk. It was one of Stephen King's first books that he wrote under Richard Bachman. It's an incredible story about teens who are volunteered to go on a long walk. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. Right now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/GWP or text GWP to 500-500. That's audible.com/GWP or text GWP to 500-500.
Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app to listen ad-free.
From Wondery. How are you doing tonight, Aaron?
I'm doing fine, Justin. How are you feeling tonight?
Oh, you know.
Say no more.
We're doing a True Crime Podcast Fest, July 3rd, Kansas City, Missouri, Lowe's Hotel. Go out to truecrimepodcastfestival.com to buy a ticket. There are going to be a lot of other really cool podcasters there. And something's happening at this festival, Aaron. We haven't done any kind of panel or live show or anything. I don't even know why. I would say that we've never been asked or we've never asked to do one. But this one, we're going to do something, right?
Well, we have done stuff in the past. It's just been a long time when it comes to these kinds of festivals or events. So this time, we'll be doing a live show with Bob Ruff of True Crime Binge. If you are interested in that, maybe you should try and find a way to get to Kansas City.
This episode is brought to you by June's Journey. Unleash your inner sleuth and step into the glamorous 1920s. Uncover scandalous family secrets and solve the mysterious murder of June Parker's sister. With dazzling hidden object scenes and riveting storylines in each chapter, June's Journey invites you to a thrilling era of mystery and romance. And now, June needs your help, detective. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. Your adventure awaits.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code audio.
So with that, tonight's case is a bit of a mysterious death and covers a mother and child who were found out in South Carolina, and their death was ruled a murder-suicide. So the mother killed her child and then killed herself. But her family never accepted this. And after hearing just one interview with the woman's mother, I can see where the family's coming from. So with that, what are we talking about tonight, Aaron?
Tonight, we're talking about the death of Katie Major. She was 26 years old, and also with her was the body of her 9-month-old daughter, River. This is a situation that is unclear. Was this an accident? Was it suicide? Was it murder?
Now, this went down January 17th, 2008, near a set of railroad tracks off Oakley Road in Berkeley County, South Carolina. Katie was also 4 months pregnant at the time. She had gone missing, and her husband had shown up to her family's house, said that she had ran out of the home in a paranoid state, saying that she had felt someone was coming after her, somebody was going to kill her. According to him, she was extremely afraid and didn't take the time to pack anything or do anything. She just ran out of the house with the child. And Katie's mother wanted to call the police, but Aaron persuaded her that Katie was probably at a hotel and they could look for her in the morning.
And that's not that odd, Justin, because as a husband, he's probably thinking, I need to give her time and not make this situation worse.
Yeah. I mean, you think, well, it's out of control, or I don't know where she is. Should we call the police or file a missing persons report? But at the same time, the police might say, well, how long has she been gone for? She just left. And is this going to escalate the situation? I can kind of get where they're coming from. So they will end up going out the next day to search for her. So later that morning at 8:30 a.m., they found Katie's body near this railroad track. First, they found her vehicle, and just a short walk away, they found her and daughter, River Lynn Major. River apparently had drowned in a nearby pond, and it appeared that Katie was struck by a train. Now, the police interviewed the family and the husband, Aaron Major. Aaron would tell them that Katie had been depressed, acting just out of sorts, and had been depending on alcohol. But he kind of paints this picture of she was really struggling, and the last couple days up until the time she left the house, she was completely acting irrational. The investigators are looking at this. They look over her body, and they end up finding a handwritten note in her pocket, right?
That's right. These sentences, I'll call them, on the note pertain to conspiracy theories. And so you might wonder, why is that? What is this about?
And if you look at this note, you know, apparently it had gotten some water on it. You know, the ink is a little runny, and it just looks kind of like scribblings. And there's some printed text on there. Some of it's been crossed out. And then you have random sentences written all over it. And honestly, Aaron, doesn't look like something that a coherent person would write.
I think that's a thought shared by many, because the initial investigator, as well as the coroner, they looked at all of this and they came to an agreement. The coroner said, this is a murder-suicide, and cited mental illness and postpartum depression as factors. Katie, she had no history of mental illness, but that doesn't mean that she didn't have it. And I'm not saying she did. I'm just saying, you know, until you're diagnosed.
Yeah. And she had just had her daughter and she was pregnant again. So they're looking at this and thinking, Well, maybe she snapped. Whatever the irrational thoughts are, that's what the coroner and investigators are looking at. And I will say that postpartum is a real thing. I've interviewed some people on my peripheral about that. It is scary, and it's something that we should probably address more in society. But here we are. It's not completely outlandish to come up with this theory.
There is some supporting evidence here, Justin. When her vehicle was looked at, it was parked in a way that they call haphazardly. They found $1,000 inside of it, and her wedding rings were in her pocket. And this might suggest that she was planning to run. And this goes along with her husband's statements that she seemed like maybe she just ran off and she was under a lot of stress and was depressed.
But as we know, if the story ended there, I don't think we'd be talking about this, Aaron. She disappears essentially the night of January 16th. And what had she done that day? What had gone down? Like, it seemed to be a pretty normal day for her, right?
Katie had attended a hospital appointment on the 15th about the gender of the child that she was carrying. And that's when she was informed, you have a boy. She had already had a name picked out, which was Aiden Robert Major. And the first thing she did after that appointment was headed over to her parents' house to tell them that they have a grandson on the way.
Exciting news, right? I just want to give her credit that they didn't shoot a rocket up into the sky that shot blue paint all over a forest. So I'm happy.
Mm-hmm. And when she was talking with her father, Jeff, she said that her husband, Aaron, could use some help and said, is there anything we can do? Well, Aaron was a subcontractor for Jeff painting apartment complexes. Her husband worked for her father. And Jeff said, absolutely. So he assigned three people to help. Two of the people he sent over were Katie's brothers, Jesse and Jeremy. So there's definitely some concern here in the family, but it's not for Katie. It's for Aaron.
Aaron and Katie had met back in high school. They've been together for a long time. So this is all family. Everybody gets along for the most part. And they're going to do what they can to help him out. And they have a daughter already. They have another kid on the way. You know, it takes a village here.
The next people to find out about this grandson were Aaron's parents. And this is where we start to see that there might be some issues in the family, because Rhonda Major, who's Aaron's mother, apparently replied, I hoped it would be a girl, and didn't seem too excited that it was a boy, and an argument began.
Katie didn't really get along with Rhonda and didn't allow Rhonda to watch over her children or her daughter. But Katie's side of the family is pretty happy. And at around noon that day, Katie's mother, Vicky, and her sister, Sarah, called over. They wanted to bring over some baby clothes as a gift for her and help support her. They knocked on the door, but Katie didn't answer. So they left the clothes hanging on the door handle, and they didn't think anything of it.
Katie then went by Aaron's place of work. She also talked with her father there and was asking him, where's Aaron at? Now, you said Katie wasn't real enthused about having Aaron's mom watch her daughter, but it was on Wednesdays when Aaron's mom was allowed to watch River. And this was between the hours of 1 p.m. and 5 p.m.
She didn't want to just drop River off at the house. So she would meet her at a Kmart in North Charleston. And that's where she would let River go shopping with her. I don't know. It seems safe. Like, it's in a public place and not in a private home. So this is just one hint of where Katie and Rhonda don't get along, and Katie doesn't exactly trust Rhonda with her own child.
Well, I think the main thing here, though, is that she doesn't trust that if she's alone with her in a house, that there won't be an argument. And being in that safe public space maybe keeps things calmer than they otherwise would be.
But on January 16th, we can't confirm if Katie had met up with Rhonda that day. There's no information about phone calls or anything. So this is the normal routine, but nobody knows if they actually met up. But we know Katie's still around because at around 6:45 p.m., Katie's mother, Vicky, received a phone call from her. And Katie explained to her that she was in the process of trying to get a hold of Rhonda.
But you could read into this a bit, right? If she's saying she's trying to get a hold of Rhonda, why?
Yeah.
Maybe she did need to pick her daughter up from Rhonda. But then again, that's just a guess.
What happens next is a little confusing, but there's some phone calls here and people misunderstand what's being said, right?
We're talking about a call at 1:44 in the morning. This is a call from Aaron Major to Vicky and Jeff Hall, Katie's parents. And you know, if you get a call at that time in the morning, that's not a good sign.
No.
Jeff picks up the phone. He hears Aaron stating to him, I need to come in and talk to you about something. That means that he's outside their house. They let Aaron in, and he's telling them that Katie was convinced that someone was trying to kill her. And he was in the shower when she left. And then he said that Katie had booked herself into a hotel room and said, please don't call the police. Don't report her missing. And he just seemed like he was, I guess, calm is the way it's described. So he wasn't agitated. He wasn't scared. He wasn't nervous. But of course, he's talking about their child, who obviously is, what, 26?
Yeah.
So it's still concerning.
Aaron and Katie had been with each other for up to a decade. So Vicky and Jeff, they trust Aaron and they don't see anything really out of the ordinary here. And he's telling them she left and she checked herself into a hotel room. So obviously he's telling them out of concern, but why is he telling them this at 1:44 or whatever it is in the morning? What's the point? Unless he's worried about her and wants to go looking for her, but that's not part of the plan.
Why is he telling them this? I agree, because at 1:44 in the morning, if she's checked into a hotel, this is something you can tell them the next day if she doesn't come back right away.
Absolutely.
They're not thinking about where their daughter is at that point, but now you've brought it to their attention.
And he never once asked Vicky or Jeff, is she here? Have you heard from her? He just is saying she left and went and checked herself into a hotel. The whole conversation seems really odd, but then it takes a turn and becomes even more odd, right?
This is when Aaron starts bringing up conspiracy theories, and he talks about, well, one of them is about the 9/11 terrorist attack on the Twin Towers.
This guy's been watching Loose Change or some crap, right?
So, of course, Vicky is feeling like she should trust Aaron. If she does try to get a hold of Katie and can't, Vicky then asks Aaron, does Katie have her glasses? Because she needs them to get around.
And she definitely can't see at night to drive.
And Aaron said, no, she doesn't have them. That is kind of, I guess, a red flag for Vicky, because Katie never went anywhere without wearing her glasses, especially at night. And being with her daughter, that's just a risk that she doesn't think she would have taken.
And then Katie says, well, why did you just let her leave with River? And Aaron says, well, she had River on her hip. I wasn't going to take the kid away. But if you think your wife's in distress, you just let her leave with the child? You just go get in the shower and not worry about it?
And so that next morning, January 17th, Vicky drives with Aaron Major in her passenger seat. They're going to nearby hotels and they're going around the local area just looking for Katie's vehicle. Her vehicle was a 2006 Chevrolet Colorado pickup. But it's while they're driving around, and Vicky, being a mother, she's looking everywhere. Her eyes are scanning everything.
Every car, every hotel, yeah.
But she looks over at Aaron from time to time, and he's just sitting in the seat. He's not even looking.
She noticed that one of the times they stopped and got out, when Aaron got back into the car, when he closed the door, he said, ouch, like he hurt himself. And she looked over at his hand and noticed that it was swollen. But she doesn't ask him about it because she's more concerned and focused on finding her daughter and grandchild.
While they drove around, Katie's sister, Sarah, waited at Aaron and Katie's house just in case Katie returned. And while she was there, she sat down at the dining room table, and on the table was a Bible. It was open, and it was open to a particular chapter.
It was open to Genesis 22, the story of Abraham sacrificing his only son, Isaac, to God.
And I feel like we need to read this because it was open and highlighted. So there might be a connection.
Yeah.
Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am." Then God said, "Take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." And Justin, obviously this story is about a man who, at the request of God himself, was willing to sacrifice his only son. But it was a test.
Yeah. And we have Katie, who's with child, with a son. And you can infer what you want from that.
It's a real question of who put this Bible out, open to this chapter, who highlighted these passages.
We're brought to you by ZipRecruiter. So the other day, Aaron and I were trying to get concert tickets to a show we really wanted to see. And I waited before I bought my ticket. And guess what? I missed my chance. And that's why you have to act quickly, or somebody else will get it instead. It's like hiring for your business. If you want to find the most talented people for your roles, you have to scoop them up before the competition does. So that's why the best way to do that is ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. And immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
That's freaking her sister Sarah out. And she notices that the home is in a bit of disarray also. Looks like somebody was trying to pack. Looks like somebody was trying to just collect a bunch of their clothes and stuff and leave. Vicky's still driving around with Aaron. They're checking out hotels, you know, parking lots, looking for Katie's truck. But then at around 10:30 a.m., Vicky feels like she's kind of doing all the work, and she suggests to Aaron that maybe they should split up and they could cover a lot more ground looking for Katie and the truck. So she drops Aaron off. And Aaron will end up calling Vicky to inform her that instead of driving around town, he was going to go to Columbia to search for his wife and daughter, a nearby town, which that kind of confused Vicky because she's thinking, we're trying to just canvas this area right here. Why would my daughter, why would Katie go all the way to Columbia to check into a hotel? She doesn't have anyone there that she knows. It's just, that just seems odd to her.
It's another red flag. It just doesn't feel right. And she already gets the sense that he's not really looking. This is really the point where she probably starts to suspect that Aaron knows a lot more than he's letting on.
It's about an hour later where she gets another phone call from Aaron. He tells her that, according to a report he heard on a radio, two people had been struck by a train near Oakley Road, and maybe she should go check it out. He hears about the story. It's a lead. So Vicky beelines it over to this area and goes to the railroad tracks, but she doesn't see any emergency vehicles. She doesn't see anything out of place. If you heard a report that people had been struck by a train, you would expect to find police and ambulances there. So she's driving around. She's just thinking, what the hell's going on? And she decided to call the police and report her daughter missing.
This is where she, I think, has lost all trust in Aaron. And because she doesn't see any emergency vehicles or anything like that, she's thinking, this isn't real. But she does have to go over the train tracks to get to the local police station. And it's while she's going through this area that she spots Katie's truck, which is about 500 feet from where she's at. Her first thought, though, is, I should report this to Aaron. I should call him and tell him what I've seen. And he responds, I know. I just heard on the radio that a woman and small child were killed. He doesn't sound worried. It's very matter of fact.
At this point, all she's found is her truck. She didn't say, I found Katie and my granddaughter. But Aaron's behaving as if he knows the outcome already. Now, I think it's a huge red flag for anyone.
I personally don't even see this as a red flag anymore. I think this is, if you're the mother of a woman who's been missing and the husband of your daughter has been very disinterested, telling you odd stories, bringing up conspiracy theories, just acting oddly, the fact that he's coming out with, oh yeah, this is what happened, when obviously there's been no report. No, this is a reveal.
So after she gets off the phone with Aaron, she calls law enforcement back and they come down to this area. And obviously that's where they find the bodies of Katie and River Lynn. Now, that's where our story started, Aaron. That's where investigators said, well, looks like she put her own daughter in the pond and stepped in front of a train. But I think anyone listening has probably an inkling that that might not have been what happened. And especially Katie's parents, they're thinking, that is not what happened to our daughter. Vicky, she'll start looking into this report of two people hit by a train. She couldn't find a single local news or radio station that said anything about this.
Now, we say all that because something important happened, something that changed this case, which was the coroner, the investigating officer, they agreed that this was a murder-suicide. And this is exactly why some people take such an issue. In a case like this, you need to get to know the people involved. You need to figure out what was going on prior to the deaths. And if you don't do that, you don't have enough information to make that call. You're literally making up a story to fit what you see out of what, convenience? Because that's what I get out of this.
If they go back and interview Vicky and Jeff or any of the family members, and they know how Aaron was behaving the night of and the day after and when the bodies were discovered, but they just take Aaron's word that his wife was acting erratic and irrational and paranoid.
You would think, and the lead investigator was asked about this. I mean, don't you think it's odd that Aaron would have told anybody that a radio station was reporting the deaths of two people by train when that never happened. He said, I have no idea how he would know. And he was asked, don't you think that's suspicious? And he said, absolutely. It's one thing for him not to do any real investigative work, but they didn't lock anything down either, because the major home, they didn't do any investigation there at all. And well, as we know, when you let things like that go, what happens? What happened the day after the news of Katie and River being found dead?
Looks like Aaron decided to clean up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just take everything that was in disarray and start cleaning the floors. And I mean,
put clothes away.
I understand that resources might be slim. I understand that you can't treat every single death as a homicide. In a case like this, even if you do think the mother killed her own daughter and then stepped in front of a train, that's still a homicide. And there's still investigation work that needs to be done.
I can tell you, Justin, all the cases we've ever covered, this is one of the most upsetting to me, because I understand, like you brought up, that resources are thin. We've heard this from so many people. But I'll tell you what, when you're talking about a young mother who was pregnant and had a young child with her and all are deceased, and the police just quickly write it off as a murder-suicide without asking any real questions, that upsets me. And this is the kind of case that is just going to stick with me for a long time, because I don't know why anyone would not look into this. I don't care about your thin resources. This lead investigator, he can go talk with people. And if that's too much for him, then what is his motivation to do this job? Again, this is very clear to me that there wasn't any real investigation here. I'm trying to support the victims in this case. They deserved better than this. So, of course, all these family members are going over to Jeff and Vicky's home, and they're trying to be supportive. Vicky didn't even notice that Aaron showed up and sat on her couch. He was just sitting there. Now, it's interesting, because the police showed up and they led him away. They wanted to get a statement from him. And Justin, you brought it up earlier that when he got into Vicky's vehicle and closed the door, he obviously was injured, because he said ouch or something, and his hand was swollen. The police officer who was speaking with Aaron had to write the statement for him because his hand was so injured, possibly broken. So, Justin, there is more evidence here of poor investigative work, which is the lead investigator was talking about Aaron Major and his broken hand. And he said, well, I think that happened a couple days after the discovery of his wife and child's bodies. He said a funeral director witnessed Aaron punch a wall while picking out a coffin. But that doesn't mean anything to me, because both Vicky and Sarah had noticed Aaron's swollen and injured hand on the day that Katie and Riverland's bodies were found.
And that funeral director, did he say he punched that wall with his right or his left? I mean, it's pretty quick to discard a piece of information, especially when you have multiple other witnesses that say they thought his hand was injured. I give up on that one, you know? And it appears that Katie was excited about informing everyone about her being pregnant with a boy. She was broadcasting this out to everyone. She even got into a little bit of an argument with her mother-in-law because she wasn't showing the same level of excitement about this.
Yeah, and where was her husband, Aaron, this whole time? Was he broadcasting? Was he calling people up and saying, I'm going to have a boy? He was gone. If I'm Vicky and Jeff, this is making me angry, because it's the height of laziness. And after Aaron was led away and he was being questioned, his parents showed up to Vicky's residence. They didn't ask about Katie or River Lynn. They just asked where Aaron was.
They didn't ask how anyone was doing. They didn't say, sorry for your loss. Nothing like that. Just, where's our son?
Aaron's statement to police basically was about how he had told Katie that he had to take care of some job responsibilities and that he would leave when he was finished. And he was saying that Katie was acting so paranoid that he couldn't speak with her. He couldn't reason with her. And after she left, he got dressed and drove around the Monk's Corner area looking for her. He checked a hotel, but then returned home after 45 minutes to wait because he thought, well, she'll come back when she's done cooling off or whatever. But eventually he said he knew something was wrong. So he started checking Somerville and Goose Creek and other surrounding areas looking for her vehicle. But then eventually that's why he went to the Hall's home, Vicky and Jeff, and woke them up sometime after midnight and talked with them. But again, if you just compare his statement to Vicky and Jeff's statements, they don't match. I mean, he was telling them, yeah, she's gone, but I think she'll come back and don't call the police. But now he's telling the police that he was concerned something was wrong. And I will say this, I think if you took this case and dropped it into pretty much any other police department's hands, I think this would have been handled well.
Uh-huh.
There was no, let's figure this out. It was just like, this was this, and let's go home and get some sleep or get some coffee, whatever. I think virtually any other department would have brought Aaron in, and they would have kept him for a while. They would have really broke his statements down and got him talking.
And this investigator asks Katie's family, do you guys know if Katie was fearful of anyone in her life? Did Katie have any problem with anybody? Katie's mother, Vicky, said, yeah, her mother-in-law, Rhonda Major. So you have literally somebody saying she did have a problem. She did fear somebody. You have what you say is a murder-suicide that you're not investigating as a murder-suicide. You just say, oh, that's what it was, and we're done.
Well, Aaron's mother called Vicky on Friday, January 18th, and asked her, please don't tell the detectives about my son's conspiracy theory rants about his thoughts on religion, because that may get them thinking things about my son that aren't true, or I don't want them to think of him that way, etc. Now, this is important because there was that note found on Katie that had apparent scribblings about conspiracy theories on it. But the only person at that home that was into conspiracy theories is Aaron.
Did we ever confirm whether or not the writing on that note was her writing?
It's believed that it is Katie's writing, but there's this idea based on stuff that was found on Aaron's computer that maybe she had been looking up what he was looking up. And when you think about the clothes being in disarray, possibly being packed for travel, this might suggest that Katie was really not feeling comfortable at home anymore, that she was fearful of her husband, and that his conspiracy theories were taking him to a dark place. So maybe she was packing to leave, because we're talking about her clothes here. They weren't Aaron's. This is all just adding up to maybe Katie wanted to leave and Aaron didn't want her to.
Some things happened when they were arranging the funeral, and the families apparently were in disagreement.
This really started with Rhonda making a request that only Aaron be present at the funerals for Katie and River Lynn, which was going to be held, I guess, hundreds of miles away in Wagner, South Carolina, at their family plot. Rhonda was saying she wanted it to be just a private event for her son only. And then Aaron was making a request that when they were going to have public viewing, that he wanted Katie in the coffin with her unborn son, Aiden, on top of her. And this is something that, you know, we're literally painting this Aaron Major guy in a light that I think is going to upset a lot of people, but this might just take the cake. While they're having the viewing, Aaron Major is sitting and eating a McDonald's meal. He didn't talk to anyone. He didn't get upset. He just ate his meal, completely emotionless.
I always want to step in and say, we don't know how people deal with grief. We don't know how people will deal with the shock of losing their family. Everyone behaves differently, but screw this guy. Everything about him, I think this guy had something to do with it. And it's ultimately based on his behavior and the lies and inconsistencies that he's told up until this point. And because the family is obviously not happy with Aaron and not happy with the police investigation, they're going to go and hire their own private investigator named Jessica Sanders to start looking into this, because everything we've covered thus far is just, it's mind-blowing and god-awful that nobody's taken this investigation seriously and nobody's put even a single ounce of pressure on Aaron to interrogate him and, you know, what the timeline was of that night and where he was that day. Look into his phone records, look into all these things. Nothing's been done.
Before we get too far into that, I want to talk about an incident that happened between Jeff and Vicky, Katie's parents, the Halls, and Aaron's parents. So Jeff and Vicky went over to the Majors' home. At this point, they're feeling like they need to confront them. They're literally taking their daughter away from them, even in death. And so while they're there, they're not really getting any answers. They're not getting any communication. And Vicky went upstairs to go to Riverlyn's bedroom because she had a bedroom there. And while she's standing in the room, Aaron approached from the doorway. And this is what he said to her. This is according to Vicky, okay? "Isn't it odd that Katie thought someone was going to kill her and someone did?"
That totally contradicts the murder-suicide. Aaron's not worried about who murdered his wife and daughter. Just thinks it's odd.
We also need to say that this idea that Katie had postpartum depression, it's unsubstantiated. It's only Aaron that says that Katie was displaying any symptoms that would indicate that. No one else saw that. No one felt it. But River Lynn's death, according to the documents, listed as undetermined, asphyxia due to drowning. This, again, doesn't really add up to murder-suicide, Justin.
Take a moment to get a word from our sponsor, Field of Greens. I like eating healthy, and I've tried a lot of different supplements, I've tried juicing, and I've spent a lot of money and wasted a lot of time. And let me tell you, honestly, none of those things ever made me feel better. With Field of Greens, it's a superfood that gives you nutrition the way nature intended. It's packed full of organic fruits and vegetables, not extracts. And when you're getting those nutrients, you can sleep better, notice things like your hair and your nails feel stronger, helps with digestion. You just feel better overall. My favorite flavor is the strawberry lemonade. I have a feeling you're going to love this product the way I do. But if for some reason you don't like it, they give you a 100% money-back guarantee. Plus, you can get 15% off your first order and free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code GenY. Promo code GenY at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com. Go check it out.
So we know that the investigator, the coroner, they're on the same page. And they think that this was a murder-suicide, although, you know, the documents don't really back that up. But you said that Jessica Sanders, a private investigator, was brought in to help with this case because police weren't helping.
Jessica does a fabulous job, by the way. I would hire her in a heartbeat.
Let's get into this, Justin. So one of the things that she has said was, Katie didn't step in front of that train. And her point is, if she had, there wouldn't have been an open casket. She believes that Katie would have been torn apart. Not to be gory, but that's just what you'd expect. And there's also this note that, you know, some people would say reveals Katie had mental health issues. One of the things written on that note is, the Antichrist could be a woman. That was scribbled on the top left corner of the note. There's also stuff in there about doomsday, end of the world kind of stuff.
9/11, end of the world, all his ideas, you know, and you can update them to 5G networks and tracking devices, you know, in today's world, but it's the same dumb stuff that's totally made up and unsubstantiated. And this is what the guy's doing. And this is what's on the note. This isn't Katie's words. These are Aaron's words. They also found that he did a Google search on his computer, two dead in Berkeley County, before he called Vicky and told her about a train hitting two people down off Oakley Road. I mean, I look at this Google search and I think, isn't that convenient? And then he directs Vicky to exactly where his wife and daughter are found. Like, this isn't rocket science. This is just straight up. He gave it away. He knew where they were.
Jessica Sanders' background is specializing in unfaithful spouse cases. She built timelines. When you know kind of where all the players are and what they were up to, what they were saying, what they were doing, what people had to say about what their feeling about them was, you can get a picture of what was happening and why. And it's because of that, that it's really clear that the players in this case are different than the way the police thought they were. It goes back to Aaron being the one who was acting irrational, erratic, things like that. That he was ranting about conspiracy theories to everyone. He couldn't even help himself. I mean, if he's trying to cover something up that he possibly was involved in regarding his wife and his child, why is he suddenly talking about 9/11? Why is he talking about planes going into buildings? And Katie wasn't doing that to anyone. She wasn't saying anything about that stuff to anyone. So one of the questions, Justin, is if Aaron was involved in this, why did he want to tell Vicky to go to that area, to go to those train tracks?
He wanted Vicky to find the bodies.
So Jessica Sanders, as you said, she got into the computer search history and they included something about the Jeremiah Project. It had to do with Bible teachings, the end times, New World Order. And she was able to substantiate that it was Aaron because all these searches were done when he was at home, not at work.
So now that Genesis passage, we can deduct that he's probably the one that highlighted it.
Exactly. And also that this note that was found in Katie's pocket, that was her writing down what she found on Aaron's computer search history. Again, substantiating that Katie was concerned. So you take the conspiracy theories, you take the swollen hand, you take the lie about the radio report about two bodies being found. You put all that together. How many times, Justin, do we say allegedly or we think, and we'll say it again here, we think it's very possible that Aaron is a lot more involved than he lets on because by his own actions, by his own statements, you can't help but see that.
I'm appalled that this went on for, what, a decade? Closed case, essentially.
Right. No investigation, Justin. I'll give you an example. One of the people that investigators could have talked to was Katie's obstetrician, Dr. Christine Case. She spoke with 48 Hours, and 48 Hours did a great episode on this case. She said Katie didn't have any signs of mental health issues or a mental breakdown. But, you know, why go and bother and ask anybody?
Yeah. And, oh, her eye doctor. Remember, Katie couldn't see very well. She required glasses. She definitely couldn't see at night. It's just, this was completely out of her normal behavior to the point where it's almost unbelievable that she would have been behaving this way. But it's not unbelievable that some other dude who rants about the end times, believes in all these conspiracies, like we believe that guy, but we're not going to put our faith in a mother who seemed to care very much for her children.
There is good news, though, isn't there, Justin?
Oh, yeah. But it took until 2018 before we got it.
Mm-hmm. Lieutenant Dean Kokinda and Daryl Lewis were assigned to the case when it was reopened in 2018. And they spoke to CBS News, and they were asked, was this a murder-suicide? And both replied no. And when they asked, is Katie's husband Aaron Major cooperating with the investigation, they said he was not. So this is a cold case investigation unit. It's being resurrected in 2018, this case is, and now they're having to work many years after this all went down. I'm talking, what, 10 years, right?
Luckily, we have that private investigator that did a lot of the footwork for him and has a lot of that information.
And you can imagine the lieutenant here, Kokinda, he was admittedly very apprehensive about meeting with Katie's mother, Vicky, because all the prior detectives that worked this case, if you want to call it working it, they had labeled her crazy. And if you want some hope here, it's that this lieutenant didn't just think, oh, she's crazy, everything she says, I'm going to just throw it out. No, he did spend time with her. He got to know her.
I've listened to interviews with Vicky. She seems very well-spoken. She seems very coherent, very with it. And in fact, she brought up that when they kept calling to complain about the investigation, the police department told her, Well, you need to file a complaint against the officer that you're having a problem with. And when she looked into that, she found out that by filing a complaint, now all of her questions and all of her concerns could be shunned, pushed aside, and they could just say, well, you filed a complaint and that's under review. So she was being a pain in the ass because this is her daughter. This is her granddaughter. This is her unborn grandson. And they just didn't want to deal with her.
It is pretty upsetting. And I'm going to use that word a lot here, that a parent has to fight and fight and fight just for the bare minimum like this. And then is basically told you're crazy. It's disgusting. But again, 2018, she's getting a whole different feel from these other detectives. One of the things had to do with the train. When the lieutenant was looking at this so-called evidence in the case, he found that the original investigators had identified the incorrect train that could have struck and killed Katie Major. They called it the southbound train, but the lieutenant, with just a short bit of work, was able to discover that would have not been possible.
For where the orientation of where her body was found, yeah.
It had to have been the northbound train. So I'm not saying he's saying this is sloppy work, but I think he's saying this is sloppy work.
Yeah, because if you can't get the train right, then you can't get the time right.
Then the lieutenant, Kokinda, also looks over this interview tape that was done with Aaron. And it's right there on the tape. Aaron lied to the detectives. And this is what Aaron had said on the tape. That's when I heard on Talk Radio 94.3 that there had been a person and a young child hit by the train in Berkeley County. That never happened. There was never any report on Talk Radio 94.3 like that.
Between the private investigator, between Vicky, between these new investigators, it never happened. Aaron told her to go there so she would find the bodies. How did he know they were there? He shouldn't have known. There's no way he could have known. Unless, of course, he put them there.
Justin, as we get towards the end of this episode, I just want to put out a little bit of a warning here, because some of the stuff we're going to talk about, at least I find it disturbing, and maybe some in the audience will too. So just, it's not that I think you'd have to stop listening. It's more of a just steel yourself a little bit. One of the things that happens, Justin, when families are aligned against each other is things can start to get nasty. And following Katie and Riverlyn's deaths, Aaron began doing things to, I guess you could say, upset the Hall family. Anytime flowers or things were left at Katie's grave, they would be destroyed. They knew he was doing this. He was also taking some of the items left there, one of which was a miniature figure of Katie's horse. And he had taken this from the grave and ripped the tail off. And then he later returned it to Katie's family. He also, this is allegedly, but he placed a porcelain figure of a baby with a hole punched in its stomach on the tracks there where Katie was found. Aaron left a VHS tape at his family's grave. The video had a timestamp of November 5th, 2008, 10:29:27 a.m. This video was left about 10 months after the deaths of his wife and child. And when you play the video, it shows a tour of the family home. Riverlyn's high chair was set up at the dining table. There was a jar of baby food on the tray. There was also the shape of a human body with a pillow in the couple's bed. So it's like a videotape, a tour of the home with hints of the family still being there.
The timestamp shows it's after their death. So he's arranged the house this way and then left this video for them. This is some really twisted, psychotic stuff.
Well, again, I don't want to put this on the investigators now, because we have every bit of evidence that they are taking this seriously and they're doing their best. And where it stands now, well, the lieutenant was asked. One of the things he said was, initially, it is believed Katie was suicidal and had some psychological issues. I can tell you that is not the case. So for right now, they're working the case. They're still investigating. They are looking at their prime suspect, which is Aaron Major. And right now, Vicky Hall Katie's mother, has a GoFundMe account, and they're trying to raise money to pay for this investigation because, well, it's all on them, really. This is a cold case investigation, so it has whatever resources it can get, but it's not a full-fledged investigation like it should be.
I'm glad that they're investigating this. I'm glad that they've reopened the case, and I want to see justice happen here. Not only that, but I would like to see justice. And is there going to be any accountability for the original investigator? Because when I screw up at my job, I get written up for it. I get a pay cut. I get fired. But here we have possible double murder and a murderer walking around free. Do we not care about somebody screwing up on the job? I mean, when you go through a drive-thru and McDonald's screws up your order, you get enraged over a $2 hamburger. Something you get delivered doesn't show up on your doorstep. You're calling up customer service. You're mad. What happened? But we're not going to get mad when somebody lets a murderer walk around free for a decade.
If anyone wants more information, wants to get involved, maybe help out, there's a website, katieandherbabies.com. And Katie is K-A-D-I-E. So katieandherbabies.com. There are links there and plenty of stuff to read. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app to listen ad-free. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to the Generation Y podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, investments, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company.
I need to create my own product that I control what the marketing is for.
Unconventional ideas that change the world we live in.
AI is everywhere, with venture capital pouring in.
From Elon Musk,
he took a massive axe and swung it through Twitter's workforce.
To Taylor Swift,
she is unstoppable as her Eras Tour stimulated local economy.
Your favorite coffee shop down the street to the vacation house you rented last weekend. Whatever business means to you, Wondery is the destination for business podcasts. Listen to top business shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Everything from top daily news.
There was more ranch dressing sold last year than ketchup and barbecue sauce.
We're buying the dip, literally.
To deep dives on the biggest successes and failures of our time.
20,000 people lost their jobs.
Wondery means business.